I would like to invite you tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter 4, this time, verse 1. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Exodus 4, verse 1.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before your throne tonight asking for your blessing on your word and on our hearts and minds, that you might place us in a place, Lord, where we can hear from you and, Lord, understand your word and your wisdom. May you just guide us tonight as we worship you this evening, that you would lead us into your truths, Lord, and that we would see how to walk in your ways and draw closer to you. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is simply The Battle of Unbelief. The Battle of Unbelief. We saw this morning how God works his will and how he wants to work with all of his children. And we saw that example in the life of Moses. But I want you to see something here before we go too far. Remember, he was told that he was going to go back to the people of Israel, and he was going to tell them that God had sent them. He was concerned that they weren't going to believe him. And here he says the same thing again. And so we're just going to cut to the chase just for a moment here, and then we're going to go through these verses. Look at verse 31. Of chapter 4 right there. Notice what it says here. And the people what? They believed, didn't they? He said, oh, they're not going to believe me, but the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads. And what did they do? They worshiped. So it wasn't anything like what he thought it was going to be like. Now, they did have problems when the trials came, and they did have, you know, they did question Moses, what are you doing to us and why is this taking place? But as far as Moses is concerned, all his fears did not come to fruition. What the Lord asked them to do, the Lord saw fit that he gave the people of Israel a heart to believe what he was wanting him to do. So when we look at our text tonight, we want to look at our misaligned focus and the Lord's realignment. He has to kind of realign us sometimes. We get out of sorts sometimes. And then secondly, we'll look at the focus on our inability, and that can get us in trouble as well. And then the Lord's open door, and then if we have time, we'll look at the Lord's comfort and direction. And so the Lord really is wanting to work in our lives and guide us into his paths that we might understand and enjoy and see the way God works things out in our lives. That's a good place to be. It's not the natural place. It's a spiritual place. And so we don't just automatically get there. There's a process that God brings into each and every one of our lives to work this out for us. So here we have a misaligned focus, and we begin with Moses saying, they're not going to listen. I hear what you're saying, Lord, but they're not going to listen to me. Now, you have to remember where Moses is coming from. And here's what Moses is experiencing. First of all, he tried to set two brothers back in alignment there and to be in agreement. And then one of them said, are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And that's when he left Egypt. So he has a bad memory, doesn't he? And he's in fear for his life. So he leaves Egypt and he goes over here to Midian. And he's there taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And now the Lord is saying, I want you to go back. And so he's got this in mind. He remembers they didn't really give heed to him. But the difference is, 40 years have passed, and now the Lord is directing him to do that which he thought he was going to do the first time. So notice what he says here in verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he, the Lord said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now let's give Moses credit there. I think the worst place you can try to pick up a snake, I don't know, I'm not a snake catcher, but I'd be afraid to touch a snake any which way you want to look at it. I would tend to think you'd want to take a rock and hit it behind its neck. Now, I don't know how you'd grab it, but I would dare say, you know, you don't want that thing turning around. And don't take my advice. I might be telling you exactly the thing you don't want to do. But here's the thing I want you to see. Moses went out there and he did grab the snake, didn't he? And so we got to give him credit for that. He obeyed the Lord, and that was a good test. And what happened? It said, the Lord says here in verse 4, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. So the Lord wanted him to understand that when God directs him, he will provide and watch out for him as well. So verse 5 says this, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. So you know what he's saying? I'm going to enable you to do things that are not natural. Right? There are spiritual things and there are natural things, are there not? There's a spiritual realm and a natural realm. The natural realm concerning the things of God are basically dead because they need the faith in the Lord to trust him for the spiritual. Is that the truth? There's no way God ever expected Moses to do this all by his lonesome, to go out there and say, okay, Moses, this is what I want you to do. Let me know how it turns out. That was never God's plan. God's plan is saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you because something the Lord knew that maybe Moses didn't know, and that is that we know that without the Lord, what can we do? Nothing. That's important. And so the Lord knew that he needed to be there with him, and maybe Moses didn't know exactly how that was all going to come to pass. So he says, I want you to know in verse 5, he says, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. So they're going to know by these signs. You know, God has given the believer signs of a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the truth? And that's not by our means, but that's by the Lord's means. So the question tonight is, do we really believe that the Lord can change our lives to honor and glorify him? That's where the real battle is at. Lord, can you use me by your mercy and your grace and your power to make me a vessel for your honor and glory? And of course, the answer is yes, as long as we look to the Lord and not on ourselves. So, verse six, the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. So he wants to show him things that he's never seen before that the Lord can do. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Now that was a shocker, wasn't it? That was a shocker. And you know, he had no idea what was going on, so he just puts his hand in there and he takes it out. And what do you think he thought? And what do you think was the expression on his face when he saw that leper's hand? Don't you think his mouth probably dropped and said, what is that, right? He knew what it was. It wasn't good. And notice what he says here in verse 7. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out. Did you see that? This time he's like, I got to see this now, right? So he plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it turned again as his other flesh. And notice he says, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign. So he says, he's telling them, I'm going to give you these signs, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So the Lord is, you know, he's telling Moses, they're going to see something they've never seen before. Is that the truth? And is that the basis for them believing that God is with him? Yes. And that is the Lord is making a difference in his life. So they will know that Moses is not just coming up with this idea in his own little head, but the Lord is with him and behind him to do all these works. Do you know the Lord has promised to be with each and every one of us as believers as well? He has. And he says, you know, if you will look to me and if you will call upon me, I will intervene in your life with my mercy and with my grace and with my power that will enable you to do things, naturally speaking, that we cannot do. We just naturally cannot do it. That means what are some of those things? Well, because sometimes if we're not careful, we're thinking, well, let's see. Let me put my hand in my bosom. Let's see if it turns leprous. Let me put my hand in my bosom again. Let me see if it's clean again. That's not what the Lord's talking about. But what the Lord has promised in the New Testament is that we would have his Holy Spirit and that his Holy Spirit would empower our lives to glorify the Lord, to change our lives, to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that true? In the Bible, that's what he said. So here's the thing. Do we pursue, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pursue him in these things coming to pass in our lives. So Verse 9 says this, "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee also for these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." You know what the Lord is saying? There's no end to what I can do. That's what he's saying. There is no end to what I can do for you, Moses. You know what he's saying? No matter what kind of an argument that the people of God, not the lost world, not the Egyptians, but he's concerned about convincing his own people. He's saying, you know what? Doesn't matter what they can come up with. I will give you what you need to prove to them that I sent you. Isn't that good? He's saying that beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to bring them around to seeing and understanding and believing what they're seeing you do, that it's coming from me. So what does Moses do here in verse 10? And what does he focus in on? Tell me if you can figure out what he's focusing in on. Look at verse 10. "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord," that's all you needed to say. "I'm ready to go. I believe you 100%. No. He says, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Now, question, where is Moses, or what is Moses looking to? He's looking to himself. He's not looking to the Lord. He's looking to himself. You know what happens every time we look to ourselves? When it comes to spiritual things, it'll be failure every time. It'll be something that we can generate, that we can come up with, but it's not going to be the Lord. And we will miss the working of the Lord, and that will not build our confidence in the Lord, and that won't build our faith in the Lord. It'll build our faith in ourselves and what we cannot do. And so what happens is we say, well, I just simply cannot do that, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to try anymore. I'm just going to be content to park it right here where I'm at. And I'm not going to move forward in faith anymore. I'm just going to say, after all, you know, I'm just a human being. Well, the Lord knows that, but he created us to be transformed into the likeness of his Son, beginning on this side of eternity. He's saying, I'm going to change you. I'm going to do this work, and you'll be a testimony for my honor and glory. But we have to ask the Lord to do that. So if we don't say, first of all, we have to believe, right? We have to believe the Word of God. Am I telling you the truth tonight? Does the Bible tell us, did Jesus teach us to follow him and that he would do these things in and through our lives? That he would take us to where we needed to go and he would do the work in our lives and transform us, and that he would give us his peace, not the peace of the world, his joy, not the joy of the world? Did the Lord say that to the disciples? Is that applicable to your life and mine? Absolutely. But if we never ask the Lord, if we never ask the Lord, "Lord, I need you today. I need you to do this in my life, and that I might walk upright in your mercy and in your grace." It'll never happen. You know, I do believe God answers prayer. How about you? Amen. Right? Does prayer change things when we pray to the Lord? Absolutely. It changes things. And so this has nothing to do with changing the mind of God. This has everything to do as following what God has asked us to do. He says, if you will seek me, you're going to find me. If you'll call on me, I'm going to answer. If you'll prove me, I'll show you personally. And this is not a collective thing, although it works collectively as a body of believers here in a local New Testament church. But we have to do that individually in our everyday lives. And as we do that, God says, I'll begin to show you some things that will show you that I'm working in your life, and other people will see it as well. Verse 11, "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth?" Remember where his deficiency was? He says, I'm a slow tongue. I'm not eloquent. I'm of slow speech. I can't do this. "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth?" And of course, the answer is God. "Or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Now therefore, because he's done that, he says, don't let that stop you. He say, I can change whatever, I can give you whatever you might be deficient in, I will help you in. And that's what he's basically saying. So he says, now therefore, because of that, go, and I will be with what? I'm going to be with your mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Do you think the Lord wants to teach us how we should walk in this world? Do you think he wants to show us how to be a testimony for the glory of the Lord, that we might be a vessel to his honor and glory? Verse 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. You know what he's saying? Don't send me. he's saying, do it, but and then what happens here in verse 14? Well, it's a good debate. It's a good discussion. It's a good, in a sense of, he's engaging the Lord. It's not in the right direction, but the Lord is going to open a door here for him. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Now, I'm not telling you to make God mad, all right? But I am saying, as you see here, he's going to open a door for him. And said, is not this Aaron the Levite? Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And he's talking future tense. He's not coming to meet him now. He's on the backside of the desert still, right? Aaron is going to meet him. In fact, look at verse 27. Just hop over there. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So this hasn't even taken place yet. This is later on down the road. But the Lord is telling him to confirm that he is the one that is in control of all these things. He is going to place it in the heart of Aaron when the time is right to come out and meet Moses. Do you think that encouraged him when he saw his brother coming out? Do you think he said, you know, that is coming to pass exactly the way the Lord said it was going to come to pass? God wants to give us that kind of encouragement. You know, he's saying, if you'll trust me, I will bring it to pass. The Lord will bring it to pass exactly as he said he would. All you and I need is trust in the Lord. That's all we need. That is a battle. That's where the battlefield is at. Trusting the Lord and then stepping in that direction and watching the Lord work. And it is a battle. It's not always, let me just say this. I was going to say, it's not easy. I'll say this. It's the easiest thing to do. And yet for some strange reason, it's the hardest thing to get ourselves to do it. It is not a difficult thing to trust the Lord, but for what unbelief keeps us from doing that. But it's not a difficult thing to just simply say, I'm going to trust the Lord and walk in his way. So he said, I know that he can speak, speaking of Aaron, verse 14, and also behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. Did you see that? Who's doing the teaching? The Lord's doing the teaching. He says, I'm going to teach you what you ought. Isn't that good? If the Lord is teaching, are you getting good instruction? The Lord wants to teach us how to walk by faith with him every day. And so if we will just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this, and I need you to strengthen my trust in you. I want to honor you and walk in your way. He'll show us. That's his promise. That's the way that he works. So, verse 16, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even, he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand therewith, thou shalt do signs. So he's telling him these things he's going to do. And I think Moses has seen enough signs to say, yeah, God can do signs, can't he? He's seen them himself. I don't know. That would be quite a, how would you say, impressive thing to put your hand in your breast and take it out. And then see it leprous, and then he says, put it back in there. And of course, the next time he plucks it out, right? He wants it real quick. He wants it to be healed. And it was healed. And so he can trust the Lord that he can do things. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever done anything for you in your life to where you knew it was the Lord intervening in your behalf? Has it only been once? Has he done it more than once where he's intervened on your behalf and proved himself? So he is worthy to be trusted, and we can count on him all the time. So, verse 18, and Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt. Now remember, he worked for him for 40 years, and now he's asking to leave, right? So there should be maybe a debate. Wait a minute, you're my head herdsman here. you've been running the show for 40 years. What am I going to do without you? And notice what happens here. He says to him, I pray thee, I'm going to return to my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, what did he say? Go in peace. Doesn't that confirm God's in it? Go in peace. 40 years. And he says, go in peace. You have my blessing. You know, that's all good with me. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, verse 19, for all the men that are dead, which sought thy life. That's a good encouragement, isn't it? Because he was getting ready to go back and he's saying, man, I'm wanted for murder. And people were looking. I mean, obviously God knew people were looking out after him. And he's saying, all those that were looking for you, they're dead. They're gone. You don't have any fear. You don't have anything to worry about them anymore. You just go ahead and you can trust me. And so what happens here in verse 20? And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Do you think God gave him some confidence there when he said, all those people are looking for you, they're gone. You can go now. And he did, didn't he? So notice the battle. Look at the transition here. Look what God was doing. Yes, God did get angry with him. The Bible tells us that. But not so much so that he was done with him. Isn't that good? So there he was struggling with this whole concept that God was giving to him. And can you not see the gentleness and the kindness of the Lord to continue to work with him, to bring him to the place to where he was going by faith? Do you know the Lord wants to do that for each and every one of us? Do you know that he is working with us even tonight, encouraging us? Trust me in a way you've never trusted me before. Just you and the Lord, and seek out what that might be. The Lord has things for each and every one of us, and truths and promises to walk in and to claim for the honor and glory of the Lord. So, what does he do? Verse 20 again, he takes his wife and his sons, and he sets them upon an ass, and he returns to Egypt, takes the rod of God in his hand, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all the wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Isn't that crazy? The Lord gave him some insight on the battle he was getting ready to face. He's saying, I'm going to tell you how it's going to work, Moses. You're going to go, but he's not going to listen. And isn't that good to let, you know, it's one thing when you got the inside scoop to see how things work. Because then you can just say, oh, the Lord said it was going to be like this, I'm okay. Now, the people of Israel didn't get the inside scoop, so they got all apprehensive and they got all worked up and upset because they were going through these trials. But Moses had the inside lane and understood the way the Lord was going to work this out. Verse 22, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord Israel, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So he told him right off the bat what we're going to do. And question, did the Lord do that ultimately at the end? He did do that at the end. So God is true to his word. And God is true to his people, and this is important. So as we see here, we find the Lord's comfort and direction. We find this personal encouragement that he gave to Moses. We find this personal explanation. He explained how things were going to roll out for him. And then we see this covenant that must not be forgotten. God is a holy God, and he said, notice what he says right here. In fact, look at verse 24. And it came to pass, by the way, in the inn, so he's heading down there, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. And Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he did not teach this covenant to his children or to his wife, but the Lord said, this must be fulfilled. right? This is important. We cannot enter into the presence of a holy God and not be in covenant with him. In the New Testament, the covenant that we're into is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings us into covenant relationship with God Almighty. We have to be in that covenant relationship with the Lord in order to follow after him. And this was necessary here. He could not sidestep the righteousness of God, right? It was what God had commanded that must be followed. Verse 26. So he let him go. Let's look at verse 26. So he let him go. Then she said, "A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision." And the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." And he went to meet him in the mount of God and kissed him. So he was happy to see him, just like the Lord said, right? He kissed his brother there. And notice what happens. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. So he got to see this, didn't he? He was showing him these things. Do you know, the Lord wants us to share these things with one another. Do you think that encouraged Aaron when Moses said, "Let me show you what the Lord showed me"? And he showed him all these things. Do you think that built up his faith? Absolutely. Do you know when we come to one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we say, "You know what, I proved the Lord in this area." And do you know what he did? He was faithful. He performed exactly what he said. "You know what? I've battled with certain things in my life, and I brought them before the Lord and said, 'Lord, you promised that you were going to make me a royal priesthood and to be whole. And I knew I can't do it. And so, Lord, I just called upon you to do it.'" And then all of a sudden, you know what? He did it. Amen. And don't you know that encourages other believers to say, "Well, if you saw the nail prints in his hands, and if you saw I want to see it too." Amen. If God did that for you in your life, I want him to do that for me in my life. And that's a good thing. That's a good place to be. So what do they do? Verse 29, "And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel." What are they doing? They are sharing the good news that God had given to them, aren't they? That's a great place to be, to share. You remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? Do you remember what happened when they were sad, of a sad countenance, and the Lord walks up? They didn't know who he was, and then the Lord begins. He says, "Why are you guys so sad as you're walking?" And then they tell him, "Are you just a stranger in these? Don't you know what happened here? We thought the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and we believed he was, and he was crucified, and it was the third day. Of course, he rose again." And then he made as he would have gone on, but he opened unto them the scriptures, is what the Bible tells us. And then when they got to their place where they were going, he made as if he was going to go on, and they invited him to come in. And then he broke bread with them, and they knew who he was, didn't they? And after they traveled, it's about 6 miles, they didn't just stay there. They went back to the other disciples and said, "Man, we got to tell you who we saw." Amen. And what he did. And they got excited. And of course, the Lord appeared there again to them. So this is what it's really all about in the life of believers, having the experiences, plural, of God in our lives to share and to encourage one with another. We're not just here studying a textbook. This is the living word of God that he wants to work in our lives in a life-changing way if we'll believe him. See, it requires faith. Not just hear him, but believe him. And so again, verse 29, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And here's the best part here, verse 31. And the people believed because of their testimony. Do you know that God wants you and I to bring faith to fellow believers and to a lost and dying world by what we say? Because with the power of God, people will believe. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction. And how did they hear this? By the words of Moses. Then what did they do? They bowed their heads and worshiped. Why did they do that? Because it was real to them, even though they didn't hear it from God himself. God, listen, could Moses in a million years would he have ever been able to make that real to them? Only God could, right? So God used Moses to make this message real to the hearts and minds of God's people. And God wants to use each and every one of us to communicate the message of the Word of God in such a powerful way that people will believe. When Peter preached after Peter and John healed the paralytic from his mother's womb, and then they stopped and they said, "Hey, why do you look on us as if by our own power?" Do you know people believed after he was done speaking with all that was going on? Why? Because God was at work. Is that not the case? And so we need to bring God into our life and seek the Lord in our life in such a way to where he will be working and he will use us for a testimony and for an honor and glory to his name. But that's your choice, isn't it? It's our choice as individuals. Do we really want, or do we, and that's a battle. We could say, well, listen, you don't understand. This is my problem. Are we telling God something new? This is my weakness. This is my failure. God says, don't look to yourself. Who does he say to look to? Look to him. Look to the Lord. And he will show us great things, mighty things that we would have never seen before. Only if we look to who? The Lord. Look to him. Would you stand tonight as we prepare for the Lord's invitation and opportunity to draw nearer to the Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, so much for what you want to do in and through our lives. What a privilege and what a blessing. May you just have your will and your way in our hearts and minds. May you move amongst us, Lord, and through us for your honor and glory and our blessing. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.